the Sikha for Parshas Bracha, Zoyis HaBracha, is in Chelik Dalid, Volume 4 of Likutei Sichos. It's actually a Sikha on Simchas Torah, but it's on a Pasuk of Parshas Bracha. The Pasuk, Torah Tziva Lanu Meshen, Merosha Kihilas Yankiv, that we find in this week's Sedra, is the first thing that we teach a child, as the Gemara says, when a child is old, begins to speak. When he just learns how to speak, his father teaches him to say, Teira Tziva Lanu Meshen. This verse, this pasuk, Teira Tziva Lanu Meshen, speaks about the Torah as it was given to us from Moshe Rabbeinu. And he received it at Sinai from God. So this Torah, which Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us, contains the entire Torah. All that will be discovered, all that any valid student of Torah will discover in the Torah, was all given to Moshe. The difference is only as to when it was revealed. There are those parts of Torah that were revealed immediately at the giving of the Torah. There were those parts of Torah that were revealed later on in the course of time. There are those parts of Torah that will be revealed when Mashiach comes. But all of that is included in the Torah that Tziva Lanu Moshe, because there will not be another Torah or the giving of Torah a second time. And so everything is contained in the Torah that Moshe gave us. So it's understood that no matter how much we know and how much we've learned, it is still a tiny drop, an insignificant amount, compared to how much more there is to learn, because the Torah can be learned deeper and deeper endlessly. So the question now is, why is it that such a profound message, such a profound lesson, that the Torah, it has an endless potential, and that which Moshe gave us can continue to grow and unfold endlessly? Such a heavy lesson is the first thing that we teach a child who is just beginning to speak. You would think that the normal way of teaching is that you start with simple lessons, you start with a simple subject, and when that's mastered, then you go on to a more difficult subject and continue to grow in that way until after you've mastered all that you can understand in the concrete, in the empirical, then you go into the areas of the abstract subjects. But here, we're told that the first thing that we teach a child when he begins to speak is this abstract concept of endless potential in the Torah. So the answer is, we're talking here about the essence of Torah. The Torah, Tziva Lanu Moshe, is not a subject that is studied to be understood as an academic subject. The neshama of every Jew inherits Torah and is connected to Torah, because Torah is not a subject, but rather an expression of God Himself, where God makes Himself available in the Torah. So when we say Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, we're talking about the soul of Torah. God's presence in the Torah, the fact that Torah contains God, as the Gemara says, Esi Atem Lekhim, that when we study the Torah, when we receive the Torah, we are receiving God Himself. And this is not a subject that we study, first the simple part and then go on to the more difficult part. This is something that goes directly to the neshama that is inherited by every Jew, including even the child who is just beginning to speak. This aspect of Torah is given to every Jew without distinction, because as far as a created being is concerned, as far as the human being is concerned, just as the intelligence of a child is really not capable of understanding the essence of Torah, the same is true also with the intelligence of an adult. The greatest of all intelligences is not capable of appreciating and of containing the essence of Torah. And only because Bochar Bono Mikol Ha'amim, because God chose us, That's why he gave us Teza Sei, he gives us his Teza. Because he is infinite and all-powerful, he was able to give away his Teza. And because God gives away his Teza, then it makes no difference whether he's giving it to an adult with great intelligence or to a child with little intelligence, because it has nothing to do with the learning and with the intelligence of the student. And if he can make himself known, if he can give the Torah to an adult, he can also give the Torah to a child. And this, the fact, this the inheritance of Torah is what it, is the meaning of the rest of the verse. Torah tziva lanu meisha, mai rasha kihilas Yaakov, an inheritance to the congregation of Yaakov. An inheritance applies to a child of one day as well as to an adult, because a child, being that he is the child of the father, will inherit everything because he represents the father. And since Jews are God's children, therefore we inherit Teza without distinction between the intelligent and the non-intelligent. And that's why the Pasuk says, Kihilas Yaakov, that it's inherited by the congregation of Yaakov, not Yisrael. Yaakov meaning the heel, talking about the Jew who's on even the lowest level, the level of the heel, yet he also inherits the essence of Teza. Here we can still ask, although it is true that even a child inherits the essence of Teza, even the most abstract, esoteric parts of Teza, but why is it necessary to tell the child and teach the child this verse? What would be wrong with teaching the child the alphabet, the Aleph Beis? And then when he gets older, we'll teach him this esoteric and abstract concept as well, when he'll better be able to appreciate it. So the answer is that a Jew must know, and it must be deeply engraved in his mind and heart, that the essence of Teza is not understanding and intelligence. The essence of Teza is that it is God's wisdom, and God and his wisdom are the same. That the Torah is godliness, is God. And this conviction has to be the foundation upon which we build all of the study and understanding of Torah. So the first thing that we need to teach a child is not to understand the small, the understandable parts of Torah, and then grow and move on to the higher and more difficult parts. The first thing a child has to know is what Teza is. That Teza is God himself. Then, when he knows that this is the Teza, then he can begin to build the structure on the sound foundation. He can build the structure of understanding and knowledge of Teza. And then another thing. If he starts to study Teza first, and comes to understand Teza to the degree that he can understand, and only later will we tell him that this Teza that he is understanding, this Teza that he has now absorbed and mastered, is really, in its essence, God himself, much higher than intelligence, it will be very hard for him to shift and to switch his thinking, because intelligence conceals essence. It becomes a block that doesn't allow that kind of recognition. But if you start with that awareness and build on that awareness, then he is studying the Torah all along with Yiras Shamayim and Kabbalas Ol, with the fear of heaven and with the yoke of heaven that awareness brings, so that his study doesn't get in the way and doesn't block out the appreciation for the more subtle and for the more godly part of Torah. Every custom in Torah is also a Torah itself, is also a lesson and a teaching. And we find that the minhag is, the custom is, concerning Simchas Torah, that we rejoice with the Torah in a particular fashion. We take the Torah while it's wrapped in its mantle, in its coat, and we dance with the Torah in a circle. Now you would think that in order to rejoice with the Torah is a subject that is studied and understood. So you would think that the rejoicing of the with the Torah, the Simchas Torah, should consist of an increased learning, both quantitatively and qualitatively, on the day of Simchas Torah, and this increased understanding and knowledge of Torah will produce the joy and the gladness and the simcha of Simchas Torah. And yet we find that instead we celebrate the Torah not by using our head, but by using our feet. And we dance with the Torah while it is wrapped up in its coat. Not only aren't we learning it, but it's wrapped up so that we can't even see what is written there. And although on Simchas Torah there is time for learning as well, but that's because of the mitzvah to learn Torah every day. But there isn't a significant difference, an increase, a special study that would express the Simchas Torah, the joy of Torah, on Simchas Torah. So again, the answer is that the essence of Torah is not an academic subject that is appreciated through the mind and through understanding, but the holiness of Torah, the Kedusha of Torah, which even a person who is totally ignorant of Torah acquires through an inheritance, as we said before, and they too, those who have not studied Torah or don't understand Torah, they too rejoice on Simchas Torah. It's because Torah is being celebrated for its holiness, for its essence, and not for its understanding. And it's only because we want the essence of Torah to permeate and to reach into the inner workings of our personalities and of our character that we are commanded to study and understand the Torah, so that the Torah is absorbed, is ingested into the system, so that its holiness can be appreciated in every part of the mind, heart, and body. And that's why we dance on Simchas Torah, with the Torah wrapped up in its cloth, to underscore and to emphasize the fact that the Torah is greater and higher than our comprehension, and it's with the Torah itself, not with our understanding of the Torah, that we are rejoicing. We're rejoicing not with the fact that we can learn, but we are rejoicing with the fact that we have access to God Himself through the Torah. The Torah connects us to God Himself. And this is expressed in the dancing with the feet, because the higher something is, the lower is its expression. So the highest appreciation for Torah and for the godliness of Torah is expressed in the lowest part of the system, in the feet, when we dance with the Torah. And this dancing, rejoicing with the Torah, by dancing, by using the feet, we do this at the very beginning of the year. That's like a child beginning his education. After the tshuva, after we've corrected all of the past sins, through the preparation of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, the 10 days of repentance, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres, then when we begin our new year, a year of work, a year of effort, then all Jews are like children beginning their education. And as we said before, the beginning of education is Teira Tziva Lanu Moshe, recognizing the true nature of Teira, and accepting the holiness of Torah. That way we are prepared, we are setting off on the right foot, so for the rest of the year, when we study Torah and try to understand Torah, that understanding and that study should be permeated with the awareness, with the emunah and the Kabbalah seil of what Torah really is. This is also the meaning of what the Friedrich Rebbe said, that when a Jew dances with the Torah, he takes the Torah and the Hakafa, he goes around the table with the Torah, because the Torah doesn't have feet, so the Jew dancing with the Torah becomes the Torah's feet and carries the Torah around the bima, just like feet carry the head. So what is the meaning of these words? How is it that we become feet to the Torah? So the idea is that the dancing on Simchas Torah expresses the Jew's resolution that he resolves that for the coming year he will accept upon himself, he takes upon himself to carry out all the instructions of Torah in such a way that he doesn't count at all, and it's only what the Torah says that counts. Just like feet who obey immediately and instantly the dictates or the instructions of the head. As soon as the head wants to walk or to get up or to move, the feet immediately do so. If the feet start to have their own agenda and they have to and they hesitate to fulfill and to respond to what the mind says, then the feet are, God forbid, not healthy. There's an illness there. A healthy foot responds immediately to the desires or to the dictates of the mind. And that's what is meant, that a Jew becomes the feet of the Sefer Torah, that he makes the resolution for the rest of the year that he will be completely devoted to what the Torah commands to such a degree that anything that Torah wants, he immediately responds to effortlessly and without question. And just as it is in the example of the feet and the head, that the feet actually do for the head what the head can't do for itself, it takes the head where the head can't go. The same is true also with the Jew and Torah, that the Jew, by doing mitzvahs and by being devoted to the commandments of the Torah, the yoke of heaven, the yoke of Torah, and the Simchas Torah, this brings an elevation and a completeness to the Torah. And that is the meaning of the expression Zman Simchasenu, which is a plural expression, implies more than one Simcha, more than one joy. And that's because there are two joys. There is the Jew rejoicing with the Torah, and there is the Torah rejoicing with the Jew. Our joy and the Torah's joy. And both are expressed in one word, Simchasenu, our joy, because they are so interdependent. When a Jew celebrates Torah, when a Jew is rejoicing with the Torah, then the Torah rejoices with the Jew, because it brings an elevation and a completeness to the Torah itself. Now the question is, the minhag, the custom is that we dance with the Torah around the table on which the Torah is read. So there seems to be a suggestion here that the reading of the Torah, the study of Torah, is being included, at least as a hint, it's being alluded to by the fact that we dance around the table where the Torah is read. And also before the dancing, we say Atahareso, we read verses from Torah. So if the essence of Torah is being celebrated and not its study, what is the connection here? What is the relevance of dancing around the reading table and quoting verses of Torah before the Hakafa? So the answer is, since Tishrei is the general preparation for the entire year, the month that prepares us for the entire year, so it has to contain all elements of the year. So although on Simchas Torah we celebrate the foundation of Torah, the fact that it is God's will, the fact that it connects us to God, the essence of Torah, but somewhere in the month of Tishrei we also have to have the beginnings, the stirrings of that which we're going to be doing the rest of the year. The rest of the year we don't dance with the Torah, but we study it. And so that is suggested by the fact that we dance around the reading table and we quote verses of Torah. But since it is still Tishrei, and in Tishrei we have to deal with the foundations, with the fundamentals, that's why what is obvious and revealed is that we're dancing with our feet. And what is being hinted at, what is being suggested, is the reading of the Torah, the use of the head. But it needs to be there in order to serve as a starting point, as a beginning for the study which will take place in the course of the year. Another reason that we quote verses of Torah and study Torah, even on Simchas Torah, is because the nature of emunah, the nature of belief, and Kabbalah's Eil, is that it tends to remain separate and distant from the person's behavior, from his inner workings. But that shows that what the person believes has not really permeated into the person himself. He hasn't become completely merged with that which he believes, and so his belief and he remain two separate things. And that's why his behavior is not influenced and his understanding hasn't changed, even though he has this belief. But as strongly as he believes it, it remains something separate from him himself. When is the belief a true belief? Not only a strong belief, but a true belief, when he and his and that which he believes merge and become one and the same. When that happens, you will see evidence of it in the person's understanding and in his behavior. His understanding begins to mold itself around the emunah, around the faith. You can see that he understands the Torah with an edelkeit, with a refinement, with a godliness that is different from the way he understands other subjects that are secular, not godly. And you can also see how his behavior is affected. So even though the Simchas Torah, the dancing with the feet, is an expression of the essential connection, the emunah and the Kabbalah soil that a Jew has in reference to Torah, but if it doesn't express itself in the study of Torah, and it doesn't express itself in the behavior of the person, then there is something lacking in the emunah itself. There is something lacking in the foundation. This idea is expressed in the first verse, in the first quote of the Atah HaResa. The first verse that we read is Atah HaResa Lodas Ki Hashem Hu Halikim. You have been shown so that you will know that God is God. HaResa means not that you see, but that you are shown. It's an effortless thing. It's not that that the Jew makes an effort to see, but that he is shown from above that God is God, there's none besides him. And this is shown when a person sees something, it is much higher and much greater than his understanding. He's not analyzing the subject, he's seeing it with his eyes. So the neshama sees godliness effortlessly, and from that seeing, we have to come, ladas, to know. So we are shown godliness in order that we will know. Because if the seeing of godliness does not produce an understanding, an intelligence that is also godly, then there is something wrong with the seeing itself. There is something wrong with the hezesa if it doesn't lead to ladas. It shows that there is something lacking in the oneness. When a person sees something, he merges with that thing. They become united. But that is obviously lacking, that union, that oneness is obviously lacking if it doesn't produce a change in the person's understanding. And from the understanding, it then develops and blossoms in all of the aspects of the human being, in all of his neshama faculties, and also in his physical worldly activities. And we conclude the Atah HaResa, all the verses, and just before we start the Hakafes, we conclude with the verse, Ki Mitziyein Teitze Teira, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, that Teira comes from Tziyein, and the word of God comes from Yerushalayim. Tziyein and Yerushalayim, in the literal sense, are both the names of a city, of a physical geographic location. So what does it mean that from this physical place we derive Teira and the word of God? So here again, the idea is that the accomplishment, the breakthrough that Teira brings, is that it draws the first statement, Atah HaResa, the seeing of the essence of godliness, into human intelligence, and then it brings it from human intelligence into the physical world, so that even a physical location, a place called Tzion, which means a sign or a an indication, an indicator, Gashmius is only an indicator. It doesn't really have an existence for itself. The physical doesn't exist as an end in itself. It exists as an indication of something spiritual, of something godly. And it's through the physical, when it serves as an indicator for something spiritual, that we recognize that Ein Eid Milvadei, that there is nothing besides God. And then the physical becomes Yerushalayim. The indicator of godliness becomes a complete godliness, Yorei Sholim, a complete and total fear of heaven, of godliness, that even the physical is permeated with the fear of heaven through the Teza. When the Teza is perceived in the physical and shows us how the physical is really not an existence for itself and by itself, but that Ein Eid Milvadei, that there is really nothing besides him, there is nothing besides godliness, and the physical is not a contradiction, does not challenge that oneness, but on the contrary, the physical universe actually testifies and is an indicator to the fact that there is nothing besides God.